What a time, what a warm and wondrous time. So sweet a shining moment in the sun. Oh, what a time, was there ever such a time? Then suddenly it's done, the moment passes. Where does the time go? Must we let it end? Where does the time go? Gone too soon, my friend. And where go the echoes of our laughter ringing the air? Oh, wherever the time goes, I will see you there.
The time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it end? And where go the echoes of our laughter ringing the air?
WHFR, Dearborn.
To another edition of the new WHFR Journal. This is WHFR Dearborn. Yes, it is. It's very exciting out here because we're broadcasting live from Dearborn Homecoming, 35th annual Dearborn Homecoming, and WHFR is here all 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Sunday, and we hope you can get out here with the whole family and enjoy all the activities out here. I'm joined outside the studio here at our broadcast booth at Dearborn Homecoming by our general manager, Susan McGraw.
Hello, hello.
Welcome, Susan.
Thank you, Jay. It's an honor to be sitting in with you on your show today. It says two things to me. Number one, that you're stuck with me because I happen to be in the small tent here with you. And number two, that you have so many things that you want to say. You know I'm not going to interrupt too much, so...
And
lots
other,
of topics we're going to get through.
And the other staff are on their lunch break.
That
so,
too,
yeah, that's right,
that too.
Yeah.
No, okay. It's exciting to be here. This is,
it is. It's always exciting.
It really is. Something we look forward to every year. And we look forward especially to you coming and saying hi to us at our tent. We are located right at the south side of the covered bridge here at Ford Field in Dearborn at the corner of Monroe and Brady. Actually, we're just north of Monroe Street at the Ford Field Festival. Side of the homecoming event. So when you see the big rides and the what is that thing called? The Ferris wheel.
The
right?
Ferris wheel.
When
yes.
you see the Ferris wheel, we're really, really close. So stop mm-hmm. in and say hi. And lots of things available today to purchase. And everything that you buy from us supports our radio station. And it allows this great show, the new WHFR Journal, to go on week after week with Jay, your host. So we'll talk more about that.
I didn't
in a little
think
bit.
It cost anything, but.
Well, it does.
The station costs money.
That's
like
what
we
I
just,
meant, yes.
We just had a wonderful pledge drive earlier this year, and we had two new broadcast consoles
mm-hmm.
that we hadn't, if it wasn't for our loyal listeners and all the donations that came in at that time, wouldn't have been possible to even stay on the air. Right here, we have our own little telephone interface broadcast console. WDET just got one for $37,000. Ours cost about $370, but, you know, whatever they need, you know, it's fine. You know, we do things a little bit differently here. So on this show, this hour, we're trying to do alternative news. Of course, Dearborn Homecoming is as alternative as you can get in that it only happens once a year here in Dearborn, and there's so much going on. And we're giving reports a couple times every hour here. So we really don't need to go over too much this hour, but we'll go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hit some of the big stories here.
Right. And, you know, I have to interrupt and say, mm-hmm. I know I said I wasn't going to interrupt, but you and Mayor O'Reilly a couple hours ago were in great heated conversation. To me, that means that there's a lot buzzing around in this community. So we look forward to your spin on things and maybe even some last-minute news from the mayor.
Well, of course, I was going to go into issues about the August primary. It comes up next Tuesday, August 5th.
That's what it was about.
And since Mayor O'Reilly wasn't able to stay around today, I had to ask some a few questions, things I'd brought up on this show mm-hmm. in the last couple of weeks, and never called over to his office to get his response to. But so I got it today. I mean, I knew he'd see him here, but he wasn't able to stay. So, yes, let's jump into that right away. First of all, I'll use you as a example here. And, of course, all the opinions on this show are not necessarily those of Henry Ford College. But nonetheless, we thank them for their continuance in our freedom of speech. What do you think of the ballot proposals? You know, there's three on Wayne County ballot, Susan. Have mm-hmm. you figured out Proposal 1, 2, and 3?
Well, I'll tell you, kind of like just when I think I know what I'm going to do, I get more propaganda in the mail. I didn't expect we were going to get so many direct market pieces on this stuff, but we certainly have been. You know, I think that a couple of them seem a little straightforward and fairly clear. The third I'm not quite sure about, to be honest with you.
The first one is the proposal that, in simplest terms, although it's a misnomer, repeals the personal property tax.
Right.
And replaces the money that comes from that to the cities with what's called Michigan use taxes. Mm-hmm. They'll be dedicated back to the cities, so cities won't lose out on that. It's a tax cut for businesses, of
mm-hmm.
course. I think it's actually a bigger tax cut for bigger businesses, but all businesses will benefit from not having to pay tax on property inside their buildings that's not bolted down. So computers, machinery, it's just been sort of a traditional way to earn money to tax a business. You don't just tax them on the land they're sitting on. It's really what's in the buildings. That's where most of the value is. So years ago, they thought of doing it this way. Well, it's gotten very complicated, and of course, businesses would rather pay less money than more money or any money in tax. And so they had to figure out how to do it, and they came up with a compromise last year in the legislature. Amazing. Democrats, Republicans, compromising. Along, as Mayor O'Reilly said, along with many mayors from many of the communities that would be most effective, including Mayor O'Reilly, and for about 4 or 5 years, they've had committees working on this issue to give a proposal to the legislators that would continue the funding as needed by the cities from the previous tax and yet still allow the so-called personal property tax to fade away over the next 10 years.
Right.
It's actually a gradual shift
right.
here. Well, yeah, I felt, and I said last week on this show, that of all the mailings I was getting and the TV commercials, that they were stretching the truth. Like, oh, it's not fair to, you know, tax this person. This one man bought a grinder back in 1966, a grinding wheel or something for his factory. Not fair to tax him on that. And I said last week that why not tax them on that? It's still making money for him. And, as I was also reminded from other sources in last week, he's been able to depreciate it over the years. So even though it's not new anymore, in fact, he might be paying nothing on it, even for personal property tax, mm-hmm. because usually that sort of depreciation is only over 5 years, 10 years at most for business property. So there's a lot of, for the sake of, you know, 30-second TV commercials, and it happens with candidates, of course, too, but people will try to simplify things. But in fact, in simplifying them, it's bordering on not being true anymore. And so I don't appreciate all the half-truths that are coming out for the sake of brevity and winning the point. But Mayor O'Reilly, this is the point you asked. I asked him about this, about two things I mentioned last week. That were, the first issue was, as was brought up by the mayor from Warren, who he didn't have many nice things to say about, since he knows the guy in several other situations, but he's just not a fan, let's say. Okay. He said, no, he got many things wrong. And I was talking to him for 20 minutes, so I'll try to sum this up here. he said that it is a good plan, a good compromise, and that the money that the cities need will come to the cities still, but a different way. Not really secure, as I said last week and the week before. After 3 to 5 years, the legislature could rethink all this. But there you go. It is a way for the cities to keep that funding coming in that they've been depending on. And the point I made, too, was one another source made, and that was that, but the state is going to be collecting over the next 10 years $500 million less money. So they'll have to cut back on their budget somewhere, won't they? Well, Mayor O'Reilly said, no, they're not going to have to cut back because the use taxes will keep increasing because of, I don't know, property taxes or something. So it'll make up the difference. So the state will not be short of income.
Mm-hmm.
And the businesses, oh, my gosh, they not only got the major business tax cut on their profits, went down from about 6.5, 6.75 when Engler came in to 6. That was one of the first things they did.
Right.
And they simplified that. I'm all in favor of making it easier to calculate your responsibilities to the government. But that was the long discussion. And Mayor O'Reilly has so much history working on this issue that, you know, his recommendation, and you can watch, folks, you can watch his video on cityofdearborn.org that he's put there explaining his position on it. He wants to see it passed.
Right.
But we have the mayor of Warren, and as I mentioned last week, the Green Party of Michigan is against it because they think it will, again, hurt that income to the state, which is needed for schools and environmental protection issues and so on. So, okay.
I still think it's going to go fairly handily. You?
Well, the question is, who's going to vote? Only about one person in five choose to vote, who are registered to vote, in these primary elections in August. So are those people more informed, less informed? Are they already indoctrinated by a political party or a single candidate? We'll have to wait and see. Yes, there's been a predominance of please vote yes everywhere.
Right, right. Well, okay, let me throw this to you. Don't you think, though, that the average citizen who might have been following this issue a little bit appreciates and sort of respects the bipartisan approach to the creation of ultimately this proposal, and therefore, by nature of the fact that they're seeing some collaboration, might say, we want more of this, so we're gonna give them the support on this.
That's
one.
The other spin is, why the heck could they compromise on this and not on our roads and not on all these other issues that matter to Michigan?
Then it goes the other way.
In other words, Democrats and Republicans, they've gotten so polarized, both in the state and in Washington, D.C., they don't seem to be able to get together on anything. And this does seem like amazing common ground, so let's run with it.
Yeah.
That's one point of view. Although, I will have to say that I've already voted absentee ballot, mm-hmm. and I told people a couple weeks ago the only disadvantage of that is you might find out something later that comes out, some information about a candidate or a ballot proposal, and you discover you voted
too soon.
Yeah, too soon, because you would have voted a different way. Well, that's already happened to me on one issue.
No.
I voted one way, and now I found out more information. I think as of now, I would have voted the other way.
Well,
but you can't do anything about that. So all I knew is that this coming Tuesday I was going to be somewhat tired after 3 days of beautiful homecoming here, Dearborn homecoming going on. And so I thought, well, I'll just take care of that, you know, in advance. Okay, well, proposal number two is the smart buses. What do you think about that? Are there smart buses that get out to Garden City?
Yes.
They're mostly in the suburbs. They're not really in Detroit.
Not as much, as I understand. And, no, I'm all for the smart buses. And
even though you have to pay more tax?
I do. I'm absolutely willing to do that. They're incredibly valuable. I will tell you, I live near a wonderful facility that I understand actually is moving out of my area. Not too happy about that, but it's called the Berger Center for People with Autism, and it is a phenomenal school, one of the best around in the state of Michigan. People come from all over, within busing distance to be a part of this curriculum, and many of the students are coming by way of school bus, literally school buses from different districts, but many of them are coming through the smart bus system as well. That's a reminder to me every time I go to my mom. She lives down the street from this school, and I see all the buses sort of lined up dropping people off and so on. I think, well, what are they going to do? What are they going to do? Where's the money going to come to get people that rely on this for not only that type of education, but also to gain employment? I don't see another option.
Maybe someday, along with, one expensive initiative, and it's only up and down Woodward, is the M1 rail line.
Right.
But maybe there can actually be someday a regional transit plan that would be inexpensive for the average person. No, they need a lot more buses, a lot more drivers to make it anything close to the better bus systems in other places. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Austin, Texas many times on my report. Can't believe their bus system there. About every street corner, for 30 miles in every direction from downtown, from early morning to late night, all clean, new buses. And last time I was there 2 years ago, it was $1.25 for one ticket that you could ride as much as you wanted for the whole day.
Wow.
So that was a day pass. But that's heavily subsidized by all the people of Austin. And Austin has expanded their city limits out 60 miles in every direction. So they've got a lot more people paying, but that's great because they can expand the regional transportation system to be equally good all the way out.
Mm-hmm.
And Toronto, of course, has a great metro transit system above ground and underground, but people pay a lot of money for it. But in the long run, it's actually cheaper because everybody kicks in and everything is bright, shiny, clean, well-maintained, and on time.
Yeah.
So, of course, I know the tax base in Detroit is pretty low. I mean, there aren't many people left, and not a lot of people can afford to pay, even for their water, let's say.
I know.
So
I know. And it is an emotional issue, I think, because of individuals debating on, do I feed my family or do I support this proposal that's going to take more out of my pocket? But socially, it feels like it's the responsible thing to do.
I think if you do have a job, folks, and you can manage the small amount of money as the smart bus proposal would cost. It's worth it to have that as a backup. If you don't use it yourselves, then other people in the community that really need it, it's important to be there. Since we don't have that bigger regional answer,
And maybe there will be a time when we can phase it out. But
and we're not
I don't
telling you to vote that way. No, you can make your own mind up. And as we said, I think it's totally valid. If you just don't have the money, you just can't pay for the increase or any money at all. But they do say, and maybe it's just a fear tactic, that if this doesn't pass, smart buses may actually end.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, other people say, like in school millages, oh, they'll ask again. There'll be another millage vote sometime in spring or something. Not in November because it's too close.
Right.
But, okay. Proposal three.
Yeah, this is the one I'm, I don't know. I don't feel good about it in any way, shape, or form. How about you?
I can't remember what it is.
No. You're so funny.
Yeah. Oh, I have the details here again. It's I thought it was pretty clear-cut. Where's A17? Okay. The newspapers, the Dearborn Press and Guide and the Times Herald, they started a little bit late talking about these issues, but both the Sunday edition of the Press and Guide and the Wednesday do bring up the issues. Some of their editorial people have already stated their feelings, but at random. There's actually no endorsements, or there's no editorial endorsement of candidates or these proposal races.
Well, I know this is the one that I see the least about, mm-hmm. and am not getting much material for, at least in my community.
It's the RESA proposal.
Yeah.
And that means the Intermediate School District of Wayne County. It's very simple. It's a way they discovered that is legal to ask for more money for the public schools in all of Wayne County. Okay. But the money would go and be collected by Wayne County, but it would be turned around and sent back to the schools.
But really, though, I mean, why is that? Is that by nature of having this proposal on the ballot saying that the system is broken?
Yes.
So I don't get. I
well,
don't,
of
I
course,
don't get it.
Despite what you know, the governor and state Republicans say, the schools, even with a slight increase this last year from the legislature, are still receiving less money from the state than they did 3 years ago before the governor took office. So, because he had big cuts then,
mm-hmm.
because he reduced the business tax, so there's a lot of money they didn't have, and of course, it was not a good time for the economy anyway. And so they cut school funding radically.
Right.
And they haven't really made it up yet. So this would almost bring them back to breaking even 3 years ago.
Right.
So, yes, this is a little bit of a cheat, but it's legal. If the voters want to do it, it'll raise that little bit of extra money to bring back the school funding to where it was 3 years ago.
But at what cost?
You mean in terms of millages?
Yeah, like literally.
Well, it's okay, she asked.
I did ask.
Actual money here somewhere, hang on. Okay, how many mills? I do know that the smart buses, for people in Dearborn with a house valued at $120,000, I think it's $100 a year more.
Yeah, $10 a month was the average, I think they talked about on that one.
Yeah, and this is another two mills. So this is another $2 per $1,000 of taxable value.
Mm-hmm.
So if your house would sell, at $120,000, it's assessed for half that. That's
mm-hmm.
the way they do it in Michigan.
Right.
I found out other states, what it's assessed at is what you pay taxes
really?
On.
Really?
Yeah. So like, you got to be careful of that. So you can't just look at the tax rate.
Interesting.
Say, oh, that's awfully high in Michigan for paying, you know, for property taxes. Yeah, but you only have to pay on 50% of the value, assessed value. Well, anyway, that's another story. That's where people are thinking moving out of state. It's very confusing to check on what the taxes are for different kinds of income and property. Anyway, so that would be another two mills, so that would be the same amount, about $100 for people with a home of $50,000 or $60,000. Well, the weather is beautiful. We're out here having fun in the sun, Dearborn Homecoming. I'm here with Susan McGraw, our general manager. My name is Jay Koronek, station advisor, and we're here with Tammy and Andrea and Caroline at the WHFR tent. A lot of people are coming and looking at our used CD and vinyl sale.
Yeah.
We have a lot of vinyl, and oh boy, it's a wonderful thing.
And the breeze feels really good. It's
yes,
blowing our materials
it's finally
a little
picking
bit, but,
up
oh,
a little
no,
bit. It was a little humid
great.
This morning.
Feels great. Beautiful day.
Although maybe we're so dehydrated we can't sweat anymore. But
I can
still sweat. It's nice. It's in the 80s, folks, and it looks extremely clear. Don't worry about, you know, weather forecast. Well, there might be showers. Well, yeah, what the heck? That's fun.
Yeah.
Get a little wet if you
Absolutely.
Have to. But it's not, it's beautiful weather. Okay. So did we totally explain that? So I do
Good
agree
enough,
with you,
yeah.
Susan, that the third proposal is a kind of a quick fix. It's totally legal, but it is a way to get more funding to the schools to get back to where they were before. And, yes, that money comes from real people, but they probably get more of it back than if it went all the way to Lansing and turned around.
I suppose.
You know?
And believe me, I'm all for funding the school in any opportunity. It just seems like it's a Band-Aid, though, and I don't know.
Now get this one. I said that it comes back to the districts from Wayne County, and it does. But some districts, because of their size or population, get a little more than what the people will be paying in that area. Mayor O'Reilly said, in Dearborn, okay, there's so much money that's going to be raised by this new Proposal 3 if passed.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to Wayne County. Wayne County, because of the formula they have, will send back more dollars.
Oh.
I think it's because we have so many kids in school here.
They won't just disperse it differently among communities? They will actually...
I think it's by student.
Okay.
So the money is collected by people who have households.
Right.
30,000 people have households in Dearborn. And what's the value of those homes?
Right.
Okay. That's how they do the mill thing, right? So the money, the dollars that leave Dearborn from that two mills will actually get back more than those dollars for our public schools. And I think it's because we have a lot of students.
That's in this community.
Just in Dearborn. It's not true maybe in Garden City.
But other communities, well, I'm thinking Inkster, which really has no school district at this point, really virtually whatsoever.
I don't think they have a police department either.
Yeah. Happens to that? Their money.
They don't
have
a police chief, at least.
Well, at least not a chief, yeah. I guess that goes to the districts that are supporting their students, like Garden City and Westland. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's equal money coming back per student, but some communities have more or less population.
Sure.
And more or less value in their homes. So that's
True. How
that works out.
Yeah.
So it still comes back fairly for each student in all the communities, but if it matters, Dearborn gets a little bit more than the share that we're paying out. And it doesn't usually happen that way with revenue sharing, folks.
No,
okay, so we're done with the primary ballot.
Okay.
So be sure to vote, folks. And polls open at what time, Susan?
8 a.m.
7 a.m.
Oops, 7 a.m.
And they close at
8 p.m.
Yes, you got that right.
I knew there was an 8 in there somewhere.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Right. So definitely try. And by the way, folks, tomorrow, Saturday, at least in Dearborn and probably in your own communities too, the city clerk's office is open for absentee ballots.
Yes, I was
you can
say.
Go pick one up. You could actually vote right then, turn it around, give it back to them, or you could bring it back to them anytime on Tuesday.
Yes.
Also, at least before 4:30 anyway. I'm not sure if the city clerk's office is open later, but anyway, okay, that's that story. Other stories coming up here right now on the new WHFR Journal. Several Dearborn Heights stories from the newspaper from last Sunday, and a couple were interesting.
Been on the news a lot lately, too.
Really?
Oh,
about the first
yeah.
one about the city, Dearborn Heights City Clerk Walter J. Pruzowitz. He resigned his position before a council meeting July 22nd, but has since decided to rescind his resignation and fulfill his term. Now, this relates to another story that's in that paper,
yep.
is that a group of an Arab American Discrimination
yep.
League of
that's
some
right.
sort,
mm-hmm.
one of their groups has claimed that there's voting misconduct allegations out there in Dearborn Heights, but what it is actually that people didn't get equal chance for absentee ballots or absentee ballot proposals.
Mm.
I have the story here if we're interested, but I'm just summarizing.
Yeah, yeah, I heard a couple of different things about that as well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it was based on a pronunciation of a name. If a name sounded particularly Middle Eastern, then allegedly the city clerk was not getting those out quickly enough, or when they were being returned, they were not being processed quickly
I'm
enough,
all in, I'm
missing
all in,
deadlines.
Yeah, I'm all in favor of stepping on you. I'm
no,
sorry.
No, that's fine.
She's actually sitting next to me, but stepping on her words. It's the Michigan chapter of civil rights organization called the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, and they're looking into these allegations, and that's all fine. They should, of course. They said there was many people that complained to them about absentee ballot. They had not received their absentee ballots despite submitting the applications weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was the base. And there was two people that are mentioned in that complaint, but there's actually more that didn't want their names out there, which
right.
I don't understand why they wouldn't want to have their names out there. But two is enough, I guess. And Mr. Pruzowitz had said that he said it was sort of a confusion because there were several hundred unsigned absentee ballots dropped off at the clerk's office while he was not at the front office to receive them. And he said he was told by state officials, that's people in Michigan, to hold off on issuing the ballots, but was then told to issue the ballots since the office did accept them unsigned. So they normally wouldn't accept them
mm-hmm.
unless they're signed. That makes sense. So was that the Arab American people in that group? We're not sure. And so it looks like those people might get their ballots, but there was going to be a delay anyway. So why did he come back after he had resigned? If he made a mistake, I think it's the honorable thing maybe to resign if it was really something he didn't want to do and he was ashamed of it. But in fact, this election is coming up, you know, Tuesday. Right. And, of course, this was back at the end of July a couple of weeks ago, but still, the city clerk's office, they're the people that actually run the election. So, you know, very busy. And we've got TV2, Fox News here in front of us, but they're not taking our picture. They did take our newsletters and our pens.
That's
so
a good thing.
You can always use WHFR pens at Fox News. Maybe not on camera, but...
That's a whole other issue. That's a whole other show.
She has a wireless microphone with her, right?
Yep.
Just been. Have you watched any of those shark movies on Sci-Fi Channel this week, Susan?
No.
Oh, this is an important issue. You know, it was on the Craig Folly show, so I thought I'd bring it up on my show. But he's leaving soon, so that's. I don't think that's my situation anyway, although I may be asked to soon. Who knows, after this show. The point is, this is a media thing, and I think our audience wants to know that several of those shark movies, they had within the drama, within the fiction, there's TV reporters giving reports on the scene. And the one I saw Saturday night, they were in a close-up on this woman who was giving this report, and she wasn't using a wireless mic, which is sort of a big bulbous antenna on the bottom. It was a regular microphone that wasn't plugged into anything.
Oh.
You could see the three little pins.
Oh,
this is a radio thing sticking out of the bottom of the mic. So, but that's how you love those movies. They're just so bad. They're completely implausible. And as Craig Folly says, just the sort of thing to eat pizza and watch TV with. So
there you go.
And not have to worry about the other issues. So anyway, the election's going to happen in Dearborn Heights, and hopefully all the people that didn't get their absentee ballot petitions are going to get them, even if they didn't sign their ballot.
Right. So, well, you know, one thing I saw, a little visual clip on local news, was even after the city clerk said he was rescinding his resignation, was going to stay in his position, at least one of the council members in Dearborn Heights went on camera and said, well, I'm not sure we want him back.
Oh.
So I think the story is, as they say, not yet over.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll
stay tuned for that one, folks. Maybe on Fox News. Who knows? Also in Dearborn Heights, just finishing up the last Sunday edition of the Press and Guide, their citywide garage sale is coming up August 9th. Today is the 1st. Tomorrow is the 2nd. Oh,
a week from tomorrow. Week from Saturday.
I can figure that out, yes. And it's got more than 150 vendors. So people go there and they sort of put out their stuff and they sell it from their own little tent or booth or something like that. And I think that's cool. I've always thought Dearborn should do something like that. And we don't. I'm not sure why. But what about Garden City?
You know, the citizens of Garden City have so many garage sales independently.
Oh, really? Every block, every street?
Although we do have a garage, they call it a like a flea market that the city hosts. I think every other week in Garden City, right next to our historical museum, actually. It just doesn't look like it's as well attended as I wished it would be. But it's a similar thing, the flea market concept. But it's a wonderful place to find some gems, and frankly, I think it's good for the earth because
it's
people
recycle.
Would toss this stuff out. And
Recycle, reduce, reuse. Yep.
Yeah,
I know in my neighborhood, we every year get sort of a neighborhood license. Everyone has neighborhood licenses. And our neighborhood association gets one, so individual people don't have to. And then there's just huge amount of traffic going up and down the streets, parking during the 2 days. Mostly it's Friday and Saturday, but there is a Sunday.
Like a
technically,
whole block garage sale.
It's a whole neighborhood.
Oh, how nice.
Block after block after block. And, of course, in West Dearborn, every year they have it in the Dearborn Historic District. It's Edison Street, Gregory. Over by, there's an elementary school over there, too. I can't remember the name of it. I used to live there, Gregory, so I know about it.
Oh.
But that's really big because those people, supposedly because the homes are from 1920-ish, everybody's looking for antiques, as if the homes still have the same furniture in them. You know,
or the same people living in them.
Well,
you know?
I think
you
that's
know,
changed.
My mother-in-law is over in an assisted living facility right across the street from you now.
Oh.
So every time I go there, I...
Oakbrook Commons.
...toot my horn. Yes, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Do you hear me tooting my horn?
That's the person that wakes me in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Okay, late-breaking stories here, folks. That's why they're not in the papers. They're press releases. Oh, by golly. Last week I mentioned that Severstal has sold its steel plant in Dearborn, formerly Rouge Steel, but it's sold that now for $700 million to the AK Steel Company of Ohio, so it becomes a U.S. corporation again. That corporation is not definitive about how it's going to work, but the 1,400 employees are quote-unquote welcomed by them, which I think means they could maybe keep their same job or something similar. We'll see how that works out. One of our WHFR alumni, Barb Black, actually works over there now. She does a wonderful job. She just hated it over the last year. As she goes in every day, she realizes that they're polluting more than before, and they were allowed by the MDEQ to continue polluting levels that they had got 38 citations on for the past 6 years since they've been there. People from East Dearborn were not only complaining, but petitioning everyone, and even George Duraney and Talib Rashid, the other representative from this, from that area, Eastern Dearborn, have even asked the Environmental Protection Agency to monitor Severstal because the state let it go by. They said, well, okay, you know, there'll be other protections in place, but we'll let you pollute. I mean, you know, to generalize is not fair or you know, legal maybe, but I'm going to anyway, that they are allowed to continue polluting to an extent that they weren't allowed when they first started, and they got 38 citations about it. But then they asked for a different way to look at it, and MDEQ said yes. So whatever it was, I think, as I said last week, I'm sure Severstal, now another international corporation in Russia, but still, they can move to a third world country, build steel there, pollute all they want to. Because they wouldn't have the regulations. So I think they probably figured out in the U.S., no more cheap property. Values are going back up here. Mm-hmm. But also, we're cracking down a little more on pollution issues. So they made their money. They made their profits. And the question I raised last week that Mayor O'Reilly corrected me on was, did they actually sign the agreement to give about $10 million to the city? Originally, they were going to give the money for a Hyatt Regency Conference Center. Mm-hmm. There's no more Hyatt Regency. So the city a couple of years ago kept negotiating and said, well, what about a new city hall? And now the city council has accepted that contract, and they've divvied up some of the money. Most of it's going to the new city hall. Some of it's going to help refurbish the old city hall for the art space people, which is sweet, I think.
Yeah.
Help them out a little bit here. But also, they're divvying up the money to East Dearborn Downtown Development Authority, and everybody got a little piece of the piece of that $10 million for the city. So there's no single group. Yeah, I know. But there's no single group that I think was missed out there. Nonetheless, the question was, would they ask for naming rights on City Hall? And they were holding out for that. The Dearborn Severstal or Severstal Dearborn City Hall? Well, everybody was against that. That didn't happen. And my question last week to the world was, did we sign the contract before they agreed to leave? And the answer that Mayor O'Reilly gave me today, yes, they did. So will we get the money even though they sold and they're moving out?
Okay.
Doesn't matter. The contract is a done deal. Of course, we have to go to Russia to prosecute them for not paying it, but just a bad joke, folks. Bad joke.
I wonder if the Ohio company that bought it is actually paying... $700 million
however it works.
Yeah. But well, let's hope they have some better ethics when it comes to pollution.
Well, I think I pointed out some number last week here it is, that they must have been making a lot of profit because Severstal in this location in Dearborn was producing 2.5 million tons. How many pounds is that? 5 million pounds. Of finished steel. That's all polished and put together and beautiful, shiny. So how much is that per ton? I mean, and it's $2.5 million. So yeah, they had to be making a lot of profit, tens of millions of dollars, even though, yes, they just put in $1.4 billion in improvements only 2 years ago, Severstal did. But because they improved it to state-of-the-art steel production, that's why AK Steel wanted to buy it, because it's exactly what is needed now for... Oh, you're playing with little green bugs here.
It's really cute.
A mini cricket.
I just didn't want it on my leg.
We're live from Dearborn Homecoming, Dearborn's Ford Field. Get out here. The fun is starting, and it'll go until 10 o'clock tonight. We'll be here until 8 o'clock at the WHFR tent.
Ooh.
Watch us play with the crickets.
Sorry.
Uh-huh.
It was a little too close for comfort there.
We don't have video.
Skirt.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Okay. Good thing we don't have video then. All right. So that's the good news, folks. The contract was sealed before Severstall officially signed and left, and they will be paying the money, supposedly, if we can catch them as they close the door. Okay?
Okay.
Well, close to my heart is a small issue, but next Wednesday is a commemoration, a sad one, though, of the bombing of Japan in World War II. And so there is a couple of events. One is at the Royal Oak Library at 3 p.m. A Ferndale High School student, I don't know how she did this, but she made 1,000 origami paper cranes, and she traveled with them and delivered them to the Hiroshima Peace Park in Japan.
Wow.
Yeah, as a sign of, we're sorry. we're really sorry. We bombed you and caused that disaster.
She didn't.
No, she didn't, of course. But I don't know her age, but she's in Ferndale High School right now. And this is being coordinated by Peace Action of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
They're also having at 7 p.m., also at the Royal Oak Library, a speaker, Lawrence Whitner, and some live music, too. He's going to speak on the necessity of nuclear abolition and nuclear disarmament. He's going to talk about in 16 countries around the world. Let's hope it happens someday. It is 69 years ago on August 6th that Hiroshima was bombed. And then Nagasaki, the same day or the next day?
The next day, I think.
I think the next day. And that was unfortunate, but it was a thing to do at the time. What the estimates were how many Americans were saved by not having to fight on all the Pacific Islands, one island at a time, and so on. But, wrong thing to do. I also read just today that, and I wish I had the mayor to confirm this, but he probably went to the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Back in June, there's a national grouping. All the mayors who can afford the trip went to Dallas this year, and they passed a unanimous resolution, all the mayors that attended, in favor of nuclear disarmament. Wow.
Wow.
Okay. I would think everybody would be unanimously in favor of that. And the simple fact is, here in the U.S., the last number I heard was that we still have 4,800 nuclear warheads in reserve, which would not only be enough to destroy life on this planet, but also destroy this planet. Probably if they all went off any place, they would rip the planet apart. That's how much we have. And Russia must still have a few in stock, too. I think they tried to disband a few, and I think the Russian mafia sold a few. But just joking there, folks. Don't get scared. But it's one of the big problems of the world. There's so much nuclear power plants and nuclear material and nuclear warheads around that it's one of those real problems as we go into the future we have to be very careful of and have to make sure it never happens again.
I get nervous driving in Monroe, frankly.
Well, yeah, we still got a hot plant down there and one that's
creepy.
Sealed.
Yep.
Fermi 1 is sealed. It almost melted down, even though DTE Energy now said, no, it didn't melt down, though. Yeah, but it almost did within minutes or hours or seconds. And now their containment shell has to stay sealed for 200,000 years because the nuclear material in there, what's in there with it, is liquid sulfur. They didn't use water to cool that system. They used pressurized liquid sulfur. And so it's under so much pressure that the sulfur gas becomes liquid. Well, if the shell is broken, the sulfur becomes a gas, and the gas becomes a big cloud mixed in with all the radioactive uranium. And depending on how the wind is blowing or not, for example, in 66, that night there was an inversion layer, over Detroit and Toledo, no wind. And so if it would have melted down and the containment shell would have broken then, and I know this is a worst-case scenario, folks, but Detroit to Toledo to Ann Arbor would have been irradiated. We'd have massive deaths within 2 weeks. Nobody could live here for 100,000-plus years. Talk about the exodus. That would have changed, unfortunately, a lot of people's lives who lived here, but it would have changed the whole direction of nuclear power, just like the disaster in Chernobyl in the in Europe. Mm-hmm. That was a wake-up call for a lot of people, and I think that was one of the reasons that we didn't start any new nuclear plants in the U.S. after that either, just because of that issue. But we've got this sort of, it's not ticking, but it's a time bomb in a way. I mean, will that reinforced concrete shell last 200,000 years? Not much does, except the pyramids, and that's not a pyramid down there. So we wish DTE well, but there's no place they can dismantle that or take the fuel. There's nothing they can do with it but just try to keep it
contained. We just keep going
contained.
On top of,
They'll
going
have
over
to
it. You
build
know?
Over it.
Sure.
And
sure.
under it. See, that's the other problem.
Well, we could use another ski slope, I guess.
Oh.
Like the one that's built on a trash mountain.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But as long as we're on this topic, I mentioned it before, you know, Canada, across from Port Huron on the Canadian side, they have 8 nuclear reactors. Five or six, are still active. The others are decommissioned. And they have to store all the fuel rods, the radioactive fuel rods, in these above-ground pools of water. And the water has to keep circulating to keep it cool. If they have a power outage and the water doesn't circulate, the rods will get hotter and hotter, and they'll be meltdown in the pools. And they're right by this other big body of water. They're within a mile or so of Lake Huron.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could... Those, if several go and it affects the other reactors that are close by, and again, we're not talking about nuclear explosion, folks. We're just talking about the fuel rods overheating and causing damage to the other reactors. And then we lose all the water supply, Lake Huron South, because it's too radioactive to drink. And the water on the shore is too radioactive to even walk on. So we've got a lot of dangers here, and Canada is aware of this problem. And they were thinking, well, we'll dig underground. But if they do that, it's still going to be too close to Lake Huron. So the activists over there are trying to get them to dig more further inland and to not use those pools, above-ground pools.
Wow. It really sounds like the stuff that science fiction movies are made of when you really think about it. It's sad but true. So
I don't think there's any danger of Sharknadoes, so that's the only thing.
Are their microphones plugged in? That's the question.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. Well, so our microphones are plugged in, aren't they?
We have about 15 minutes until the journal finishes up here, broadcasting live from Dearborn Homecoming. A lot of things going on. The carnival rides are swinging right next to us. There's this big ride here. I think it's called the Vertigo. And there's two-person buckets or benches, and they're being swung around by these big arms. And it's going up and down, I'd say, a 40 or 50-foot post. And so if you hear screaming in the background, it's not because of WHFR's booth here. It's the Vertigo ride.
I don't even like to look at that for very long without feeling a little queasy. So.
Right beyond it is a little mini roller coaster where there's little cars that have about 4 people in each.
Mm-hmm.
That's going up, down, and all around. We have the big Ferris wheel, of course, behind just south of us here. There's a roller coaster. In the far distance, I see, not a roller coaster, it's the
merry-go-round.
Merry-go-round,
the carousel?
Yes. So common, I can't think of the name. And I think that there is, what is it called, Himalaya?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a bumper car ride.
Me?
Way down over there, yes. Right behind the smiley face sign.
Well, my favorite part is in the middle, as you know. And it's all the food tent thing here, the carnival food that I only get to enjoy during homecoming.
And you don't need a ride ticket to get the carnival food.
No, the elephant ear, the
French fries,
corn dogs, the fries, the chicken wings, all that kind of stuff. Although I am holding out for the Polish tent today, anyway.
You are, okay.
Absolutely,
right.
My favorite.
That'll be the way to wrap it up. Okay.
No doubt.
Okay. And go ahead.
I was going to say.
More stuff about homecoming?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the most exciting things about the Friday event, because we don't have the big fireworks on Friday, we don't have the big name acts on Friday, but we have the Cruise in Dearborn Car Show, the car cruise, which to me is worth coming for in and of itself. And it's just wonderful. That one starts at the district court and makes its way to our field around 7 o'clock. And I just think it's fantastic. And then the entertainment fits, of course, that whole concept of classic cars and so on with the band Sunglasses After Dark playing from 7 until 8 o'clock. And then we move into the show, all those cars will take the field and stay on the field for the rest of the evening until 10 o'clock tonight. And then we have another band coming up from 8 to 10, Larry Lee and the Back in the Day Band.
It's 140 cars.
140,
said Mayor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh. How exciting.
That was the count from this afternoon. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So that's a reason to come down today. If the rides aren't necessarily your thing, come on down for the classic cars and wonderful music. Always, you know, one of our very favorites, Pete Big Dog Fedders, will be performing today.
Mm-hmm. Six to eight o'clock.
Yeah.
Six to seven.
Really looking forward to that. And then, of course, the Living History Hill is open a few hours this afternoon from 4 to 7. So if you want to learn about history and the reenactments and so on going on, lots to do today. I think a lot of people say, I won't bother coming on Friday. We'll just do the weekend, not thinking of Friday as a weekend day. But it's a perfect day. It's not quite as crowded.
Right.
It's great
starting,
weather.
I think it's 4 or 5 o'clock, the food trucks arrive. In addition to the food court vendors and the food here at the carnival, the gourmet, as I refer to them, food trucks will be pulling up somewhere in this area, too. And they'll be here starting at about 4 or 5 o'clock.
Yes.
So a great way to come and have a little dinner and walk around and listen to some fine music, some fun music. And the only thing we have to remind you, if you heard about Dearborn Homecoming's fireworks, it's not on Fridays. It's on the Saturday and Sunday nights after the main stage performance.
Right.
At about 9:30, 10 o'clock, whenever that main stage performance is done.
And the food trucks will be definitely north of the covered bridge, so they're not on, that much I know, they're not on the carnival side.
Okay.
They are
they're
on the other
the
side.
Field.
They are next to the stationary booths that are that are there for the weekend,
Right.
Yep.
Very good.
Should be fun.
Okay. 2 o'clock comes up Highway 61 with Joanne Kay, and we're looking forward to that, as we always are. I'll be back in the studio with her. Enjoying the air conditioning, sorry, Susan, but from about 2:30 on. Let's see here. Okay, I'm looking at the Dearborn Times-Herald, and it's always their amalgam paper. It's dated from Sunday through Wednesday of this week, and they have a couple of editorial opinions in here that I'm not going to cover. Oh, here's another story about the Heights. Crestwood is asking for a millage renewal next August, in August primary, August 5th. And it's just a renewal, folks, but they do want to know if you want to approve it or not. It is on non-homestead property for 20 years. And it's 19 mils. But guess what? Non-homestead means, even though you may be an individual there on personal on your own personal property, you don't pay that. It's businesses. Yeah, although you wonder, is that fair? The business owners get stuck with a tax that they can't vote no on.
Yeah,
you know.
Interesting.
But you're all part of the same city
That's
and
right.
supporting the school district. So to me, there shouldn't be much much challenge about that. And maybe there is. We'll see. But that's coming up this Tuesday. As you know, as I said last week, the Dearborn School Board has decided that, of course, November is going to be the official time for their efforts. Hi, folks. Here you are again. It's Mayor John B. O'Reilly, Jr., just walking by, already summed up his opinions for you succinctly, I hope. But he's around. Mary Landrosh is with the Public Information Office, is right at his side, doing his PR as they walk. That's a bad joke. I'm sorry. I've been here a long time. Hot. Is it hot? It's in the 80s, in the low 80s. There's a little bit of a breeze. It's nice. So, and now there's a couple of clouds, but not rain clouds, so you want to come down here and check out the food, check out the rides. Yes, WHFR has free pens and newsletters. Okay. What about the other races coming up in November? As I said, the school board in Dearborn has asked for a millage renewal. They've got several millages, you know. Well, the next one is coming up for renewal, and that'll be in November. But also, it's a big deal because there's so many candidates for Dearborn School Board. Yeah. Now, I'm looking for the article that I printed out today. Several of them actually... Several people have actually said they're not going to run again. One of them I know is Mr. Berry. and I'm looking for it ferociously here.
Ah.
I said there's a lot of school board candidates in Dearborn that have announced, and I just found out today from pressandguide.com that several people are not going to run, even though...
For re-election, you mean?
Yeah, Mr. Barry. His first name is. He was formerly the board president.
The school board. Hussein Barry. Yeah.
Right. He apparently is running for.
Yes, something else.
Something else.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't have that in front of me. Isn't that amazing?
That's too bad. I actually, he was very active
there
in the support of the college in so many ways.
Right, Hussein Barry,
yeah.
And also Mazen Hamoud and Fadwa Alaway. They weren't incumbents, but they all removed themselves from the election because they had up to July 25th to withdraw. And, yes, Hussein Barry is running for state representative as a Democrat of the 9th District. And he's got a primary race with against another Democrat. And so we'll see how that goes. He thinks he's going to win, he says here. He's knocked on, he and his supporters have knocked on 6,000 to 7,000 doors.
Wow.
I was saying if that was his hand, that would be a sore hand if he's knocked that much. But
there you go.
Maybe use the ringing bell sometimes.
Yes. wasn't Mary Petlichkoff coming back on the ballot?
Yes, I'm looking for the... Okay, here we go. On the ballot's going to be Michelle Audia, Roger Bartless, and I saw someone with a Bartless sign on his... wearing it on his T-shirt walking around here. I'm not sure that was that man, though. Mariam Bazzi... Nofila Hidar, Ahmed Harara, Mary Ann Herring.
Oh, Mary Ann Herring.
You know Mary Ann Herring?
Yes, she used to work at the college.
Well, there you are.
Wonderful woman.
Kenneth Janot Jr., Ginwa Karkaba, Michael Mead.
Another
HFC
guy.
Former Dean of Student Services.
And I think his wife,
Margaret Mead, is still teaching.
Still teaching,
at Henry Ford College.
Yeah.
Christopher Paulson and Mary K. Petlichkoff. Mary, yes, was a former board member herself.
Yes,
And it says here, only Mary does have previous credentials. Three seats, each for 6 years. So I don't know how they're going to get their name out there. Maybe we can... try on the journal to get some people interviewed. The problem is because we are part of Henry Ford College, and the Board of Trustees for Henry Ford College is the same as the Board of Ed. You get elected for one spot, you get the other job too. So we can't seem like we're endorsing any one. So we'll have to look carefully at the FCC rules about that. And we wouldn't be endorsing any one, but
if we don't
do all of them, then we're endorsing one of them, I guess.
Well, maybe they could each do 5 minutes individually with to say what they want or something.
I would hope that
a fair forum of sorts.
The League of Dearborn Voters would do another gathering, and we would be allowed to do an audio recording.
To air that would be ideal.
And then air it.
Yep.
Because that would be, I think that would meet the rules there. Thinking, folks. But that I've never heard before in the history of the school board, there was more than two or three. And, of course, there are three seats now. But what do we have, 10 running for that? So,
well, at least. Yeah. Well, that means a couple of things. It means either people want to see change dramatically.
Yeah, it's great that money want to be involved.
Or more people, just interested in lending their hand.
All of the
we'll
people
see.
That get elected will be those with just the highest numbers, not necessarily a majority. So.
Hello, nice to meet you.
Hello.
True.
Another wonderful person is coming by to say hello. Have a nice day. They don't realize we're really on the air.
Oh, I think they did, and that's why they came over.
They think we're talking on this microphone through our cell phone or something, you know.
Yeah.
No, not quite.
I think they knew it.
Okay. And by the way, there wasn't any election for school board last year because the state of Michigan, in their wisdom, has said that a school board now must be only elected in November.
Yeah.
And so they had to rearrange their elections so that they would meet the state requirement. So that's why we missed 1 year, and we've got a couple of people who are thinking of returning. But we only have, I thought we had more than one person who was an incumbent that was not going to run, but I'm mistaken here.
Just Hussein Barry?
Yeah, just Hussein Barry is the only one that's not in the race for these new seats. I won't mention the names, but I thought two people who are currently on it were not going to continue at all. But maybe they've announced it's their last term, and they'll still be there for a little while longer. See what I'm saying? Because they're in four or six.
Because that would be the same with him.
Two other people who were incumbents, I thought I read in their previous story, and the stories change and people get it wrong, even reporters get it wrong. But I thought I read that beside Mr. Berry, there was two other incumbents that were not going
to
be continuing.
Just not choosing to re-elect.
But this is the latest story. Katie Hetrick usually gets it totally right on the Press and Guide. She writes great stories about education in Dearborn, very complete. And let's see what else is happening. I'm looking at the end of her story here. There's good news. And that is Henry Ford College has just given adjunct faculty a pay raise. That's the final story we have on the Journal. Yes, it's 2 o'clock, and hopefully the Blues is ready to start up at the studio. So can somebody talk to me at the studio? It is WHFR Dearborn you're listening to. Joe? Joanne, are you there? Not yet. Okay. Well, like I usually do on Friday, I keep talking. Unless they disconnected me already. Did you hear a beep? I heard a beep there.
I heard a beep, too.
Okay, well, anyway. Until we find out otherwise, there must be another story here somewhere.
Well, you know what the big story
is? The faculty raise,
yes,
I mentioned.
Yes, I think so. That's been talked about for a very long time. So it is a long time coming, and I know the adjuncts are thrilled to death.
Although,
mm-hmm.
not to be a naysayer, it only brings us up in the middle of nine colleges, I guess, in the nearby area in terms of pay.
The key word is up, though,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
Key word is up.
And just so you know what these people get, folks, the maximum would be for a PhD and, I guess, maybe some years of service already, is $2,300 to $2,500. So maybe the 23 is the low price for a PhD. But, folks, that's for a 3-credit-hour class. So they're in class for 3 hours a week. They do prep for a couple hours a week. They often stay around for office hours. I'm not sure those are required anymore, but still. And there's also committees they're invited to. I noticed that the communication division just invited adjuncts to come to the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pass on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you take notes for me, okay?
I will.
Susan, thank you. And... But it does take us out of what was almost the lowest pay for adjuncts. My point is, I think adjuncts, and this is very important education at a high level. This is not daycare. Oh, sometimes it's daycare. I'm sorry. But a bad joke. But, you know, sometimes there's personal challenges that come up in teaching at any level. But it turns out, as Jim Hightower several times on this show, by his